Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so excited that you decided to tune on this wonderful Labor Day. It rained in Georgia a little bit for us, but it was still a beautiful day because I was able to be with family and coming off of a high from family. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. But those of you that are brand new to the broadcast, as I said, this is Empower to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, Miss Happy, whatever you call me. Just call me a child of God. And so I'm so excited that you tuned in on this wonderful Monday. evening, like I said, it is a holiday. And because it is a holiday, we will talk a little bit about that. Many of us take the day off and it's observed because of the labor, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second too. But I'm excited that you decided to tune in. It looks like somebody's trying to get in touch with me to say that they can't hear. But praise God, I believe that God will move all that in a few more moments. But praise God. Nevertheless, like I said, if you're brand new to the broadcast, we welcome you. We thank you for tuning in. We're on every Monday night at 9 o'clock, and that's 9 o'clock Eastern time. So however you dialed in, whatever time you dialed in, make sure you do it again next week. For those of you that have been with me, praise God, we're moving into our 8th year. Can you believe that? In October, I will be able to say we've been doing this every Monday for 8 years. And for those of you that have been with me, whether it's been 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, praise God, it is wonderful that you've been here to keep me encouraged, to keep me motivated, to keep me doing what God has called me to do, and that is to study more so that I can be the best teacher that God designed for me to be. And so I'm grateful for you, so I'll always give you a shout-out. And then last but not least, I always give a major shout-out to Jesse and Tammy Stewart, the leaders of the Omega Ministry Group. Praise God, like I say, and I say every week, had they not brought me on this platform, I would have never attempted probably going into radio. I was comfortable in the classroom, but they said, no, you have a bigger classroom, and praise God, this is it. And so they pushed me out in the deep, and they have never stopped being a supportive system for me, and so I will always give them a major shout out and the Omega Ministry for continuing to support all of our endeavors. And so the biggest praise, the most wonderful praise we always, always, always have to give to God. And so we start with an upbeat song because I love when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And if you really get that in your spirit, praise God, there is nothing that you can't attain or accomplish when you know that you're doing what God has called you to do, it because you know every resource, everything that you need, he will say yes to. And so you can move forward in that. And that's why I love that song. And so I just rejoice every time I hear it. But nevertheless, we'll get ready for our lesson, but we always want to go to God in prayer to give him all the glory and praise. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to have the use of our limbs. Father, we know that not everybody can have that same testimony, but we thank you, Father, for those of us that were able to, and Father, for those that weren't able to, we thank you, Father, for putting people in their path to help them do what they're required to do, because we all have a plan, we all have a purpose, and we may need assistance to do it, praise God, but nevertheless, we all have purpose. And so we thank you that you just didn't leave us with no resources to help us fulfill those purposes. You gave us your word. You gave us our word so that we would know exactly what to do and how to do it, and that you gave us examples of others that have done it in the past and the challenges that they faced and the triumphs that they had because they continued to press through and depend on you. So we will always thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, also for the Holy Spirit, because sometimes when we don't even understand your word, the Holy Spirit makes it plain for us. And even when we need to do things, Father, when we don't have the word with us, the Holy Spirit gives us the right unction to do and go where we're supposed to go, to say what we're supposed to say, and to be quiet when we need to be quiet. So we thank you, Father, for those two major resources. But, Father, this last resource, if it wasn't for this resource, none of this would even be possible. So we thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made and that his blood shed covers all of us to protect us and to keep us connected to you, and more importantly, provide the opportunity for us to live with you eternally. So we just thank you, Father, for all things. We can't thank you enough, don't have enough time to thank you enough, don't even have enough equipment or even vices to thank you and to show you how much we appreciate you. But Father, we ask that you take this prayer, because you said in your word that if we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted. So I'm praying, Father, there'll be none of me and all of you. And then if you do let me come through a little bit, Father, let it be funny and be exciting. But praise God, nevertheless, we want to make sure that you are front and focused for this lesson on tonight, and that those that are listening will be blessed, whether they're listening tonight, next week, or 2 years from now, they will get the same frame of word that you designed for them. Father, we love you, we honor, we adore you again. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And as I said in the beginning, I was saying today is Labor Day, and it is a federal holiday that the United States decided to start celebrating on the first Monday of every September, and it is done to recognize the American labor movement and the work that they contributed to our United States, to all the achievements and the developments that we've had thus far. And so because we celebrate Labor Day, many of us, unfortunately, still have to work on Labor Day. But nevertheless, we do try to make sure that we acknowledge the holidays that are on the calendar, because it gives us opportunities to share a little bit and then to give purpose of why it is necessary for us to use every day as an example to be able to share God's word. So in this Labor Day, we take the opportunity to get together as families like most people do. And so tonight, when God was giving me a topic of what to talk about, because we're in the vein of changing and understanding where we are. And so over the last couple of weeks, we talked about the blueprint, and we were motivated by Martin Luther King's speech that he gave to the high school students or junior high students in Philadelphia about making sure that they honored the blueprint. And so we talked about why it is necessary for us to know that God has to be part of that plan, because he created us. And if we know the blueprint that he has for our lives, we'll be on point. And then last week, we talked about why it's important for us to have the right beliefs. And in having the right beliefs, we'll know that the things that we are believing are actual things that God has placed in our hearts and minds to do, and not for us to be wayward in thinking and doing things that are not that are contrary to what he has designed for our plan and our purpose, again, going against the blueprint. So on tonight, because I had an amazing weekend, I wanted to talk about something to incorporate what I experienced this weekend, but in still being able to share the lesson that God placed on my heart. And so tonight, if I had to give it a topic, the title would be called Family. And so I love my steps, and I love explaining what each point, if you will, that God wants to lay out tonight. And so he gave me an acrostic with family. But before I go into that, I also sometimes, when God lays it on my heart, to dedicate a program or the sermon or lesson or whatever that God has laid on my heart to share, I like to also share that with the listening audience. And so on tonight, I wanted to make sure that I focus on a couple people, but mainly my beloved cousin. His name was Errol Foster, and he left us many years ago, but praise God, his blueprint was necessary for many of the people in my family that was exposed to him and exposed to him in an intimate way. And so we kind of grew up together. My mom and his mother were good friends. They were, of course, not friends. They were niece and aunt and niece, but they grew up like sisters. And so, praise God, it gave us an opportunity to grow up a few years together very closely until my mother passed. And then there was a gap. God is sovereign, and because he instituted family, he allowed us to continue to see each other. And then in the last couple of years of his life, I was able to spend a lot more time with him because I lived in Georgia. But one of the things that I really liked about him was that he did love his family. And the other thing that he loved was going against the grain, if you will. And it wasn't so much going against the grain necessarily to be in trouble or to cause confusion, but he didn't think inside a box. He always lived outside the box. And his lifestyle, it did something for me, because he did quite a bit of counseling. And through his counseling, he was always intrigued, why do we have to follow the path that other people have always created? Why can't we create our own path? And one of my favorite things that he used to do, where people always would say, hey, you know, how to get someone's attention. He said, I'm not going to do what everybody does. I'm going to say B. And so it was so funny, but it took a deeper meaning for me, because we don't have to stay inside the lines that the world system has designed for us. We can do different things and allow people to see that you can step out of the box. and you can do things different, and people will love you just the same. And so that's what I love most about him, is that he helped me understand that I don't always have to go the path that everybody else goes. I can create my own path as long as I'm true to myself. I'm not offending anybody or hurting anybody. Why not explore? Why not step out and try something different? And so I've tried to live most of my life that way. Just because everybody goes to work this way, I'll go a different direction. And now my family teases me because they know I know how to get around most places that I go, because I'm always looking for a different route. I don't want to go the same route that everyone travels. And I believe God wants us to try other things too, because it's our responsibility to encourage others to do things differently. We don't have to follow this world system, the pattern that has been set for us. Find a new way and show others that there is another way. I love the fact that the Bible has given us so many resources and so many different avenues to explore how other people have gone different paths and have become very wealthy in doing those paths. And so we don't have time to go into all of that tonight, but the Bible is very instrumental as far as porting my cousin's theory, that we don't have to stay in the box that the world system gave. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you and teach you, to allow you to create another path, and allow other people to see that they can create their own path. So my brother, I love you. Rest in peace. And all of those that love him, amen, we will be the more encouraged because of the legacy that he left behind. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the broadcast. But like I said, I wanted to focus this broadcast on family and why family is so important. And so, like I said, when I do many of my lessons, I like to do acrostics or steps. And so when I asked the Lord to help me with family, he gave me the words to go with family. And so if you think about a family, the F God gave me was focus and why we have to focus. The A he gave me is available. And so, of course, we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. And then the M is merciful. The I is inclusive. The L is love. And the Y is to yield. Now, it's interesting, the words, of course, that God gave me, and of course, some of those words, I'm like, Lord, can I please use this word? And then, of course, he gave me the words that he wanted me to share. But they still work into the plans, like I said, the blueprint, if you will, that God would like for me to share on tonight for most of you. But when we talk about family, of course, I always love to define the words that I'm looking up. And so when we talk about family, there are so many different avenues that you can go in as far as Google and all the other different methods on when they define different words. So I kind of put together a combination of what I felt was best for me and what defines me and how I see my family. And so, of course, the main definition was it's a group of one or more parents and their children living together as a unit. Well, okay, that's pretty clear. But in this system, there are so many different variations of a family. It's the ideal of God's design for there, of course, to be two parents and the children. But we have many families that have a variety of different transitions. But the key word together is a unit. And so one of the things that I think that I love most about my family is that we are pretty scattered across the United States, but we always find a way to get together as a unit, as we did this past weekend, and as we've done as we celebrated our 50th anniversary for our family reunion. Now, the one thing that I think that I love the most, because I take a lot of pictures for the family, and I gather a lot of things and history things because I enjoy family. As many of you already know, both of my parents died before I was 14, so it wasn't much of an intimate family unit that I had, but I had a lot of family members that bonded and gravitated to us to make us understand why being together as a unit was important. And so I love the fact that not only did God allow me to have physical touching family members, but he also gave me a spiritual family, and that was him, the Holy Spirit, and of course my word, and then understanding what the power of understanding who Jesus is as my unit. That's my unit together. And so when we go to the word, I like how I'm paraphrasing. It says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Fathers, do not aspirate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And if you honor your father and your mother so that you may have long, live long in the land, and the Lord God will be giving to you. So you have to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, of course, those scriptures came from Psalms 133 and 1, and Proverbs 6:26-20, and Colossians 3:20. And so because of time, I won't read those, but those, that's, I paraphrase that for you. But one of the things that I really want to talk about is the foundation of the Institute of Family, that God designed that. And he designed it, like I said, by marriage, and it composed of different persons inside the marriage that were brought together by the law, blood or adoption. But the family unit was a fundamental institution for humanity. And because of that, we have to understand that in order for us to live effectively, each family has to operate under a plan and a purpose. And that plan and that purpose should be done so that it can create other spirit-filled people to be able to reach out and to be able to share with others so that they too can take those nuggets and develop their own family units. I think that the thing that we could do best is to follow the scripture that talks about train up your child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. If we set the right instructions and the right examples before our children, then they will have the right instructions and directions when they develop their own families. And so I believe if we focus on this focus that God has given me and being available, being merciful, inclusive, love, and yielding, that we can come to a common thread that God designed for us in the very beginning to follow that blueprint. And so when we talk about these words that God gave me, focus simply means to be concentrated, attentive on the most pressing need. And I think that it is so important that the word is concentrated. There are so many times, and I have to apologize to my children all the time, because when I try to give them my focused attention, I watch so many movies that they love that I have maybe remembered 3 or 4 scenes because I wasn't completely concentrating on the attention and I wasn't really focused. I heard it and my eyes was looking when they were looking at me to see if I was looking. But as soon as they turned away, praise God, I was off somewhere else. But there are times when it is most needed that we must focus and give the right attention and make sure that it is concentrated, especially when there's a pressing need. One of the things that we have to depend on mostly, I learned this as a kid that I didn't quite understand when I used to hear blood is thicker than water. I didn't quite understand that term growing up until I became older. As an adult, what they actually mean, it didn't necessarily mean that we have the same blood. I mean, granted, it goes to that extent to some degree. But basically, it's your family will be there when others won't. Your family will stick with you, will do the things. Talk about concentrated attention. They are the ones that will focus and do the things that are necessary for you. And so it's so important when you are in need that you have someone to reach back to, whether you're an infant or a teenager, a young adult, or even in your 50s and 60s, as long as you have family. I mean, even my grandmother, bless her heart, she's 94, the matriarch of our family. She still needs our focus, our concentrated attention when she has needs, and that's why family is so important. The next letter was available, the A for available. Available simply means to be present or ready for immediate use, basically to be free to do whatever is necessary. Many times we are not completely available, and that's why it's important for you to not only have immediate family around you. I used to hear, of course, growing up, you know, if you're going to move and venture out somewhere or travel somewhere, you need to make sure you go somewhere where you have family. And of course, you know, you're young, you don't understand it. I have this, you know, new found life and experience and degrees and all the things that I think I need to step out on my own. And I've done that, and I realize I need family because it's difficult when you move into an area and you don't know anyone, saying that you can't do it. But it's so much easier when you have family. Again, those that will give you the concentrated attention that you need and will be available and make themselves available to you when you're in need. And so there's so much more about being available, praise God. But we don't have a lot of time, but we'll talk a little bit about it when we go back. But the next letter is M for merciful. And this is the area that I really want to stick to most of the night, at least this is where God, I believe, is pressing. But basically, it's treating people with kindness and forgiveness. And why merciful is so important is because there's so many dynamics and changes and attitudes and personalities that go within an immediate household, much less when you extend it out to other family members. We have to operate in kindness. We have to operate in love, and we have to operate in forgiveness. But we'll get back to that in a second. The I is inclusive. You have to include all, not excluding anyone in the group or party, however you want to call it. But everyone needs to be involved in something. And I love the fact that when we try, as far as my extended family, when we get together, we try to be inclusive. We want to make sure that everybody's included, that everyone has an opportunity to do something. The floor is always open. I think we're most exclusive when we're dancing and playing cards. But more importantly, when there are situations and things that go on in the family, many of us are inclusive to make sure that whatever needs to be met, that we don't leave the people out. And that's one of the things that we all need to make sure that we're focusing on inside our families, outside our families, and just in general. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second, too. But the L is love, and that's an intense feeling of deep affection. And that's one of the things I think that I can even remember when we first started for our family reunion in 1971 was an intense feeling of deep affection. And I believe I was 5 when we had our first family reunion, and I remember all of us coming together and how exciting it was to see everyone. The coolest thing about my immediate parents, my mother and my father, they love family. And so my mother especially, we would travel. And in those times, it wasn't easy to do a lot of traveling, not like it is now, but we would get on the bus. I remember bus rides. I remember making those brown bags and putting food in the bag, and the bag is changed colors because you got all the grease on. Amen. Those of you that are aging myself, but you remember taking fried chicken on the bus. Amen. But I remember those days, and I remember the anticipation that we felt getting to see the family member. And so my uncle and my aunt in Detroit, Katrina and Bobby, my future big brother, amen, he knows what I'm talking about. But anyway, I love the fact that we would go there often, and then they would come to see us. And so there was always an intense feeling, a deep affection on whenever we were going to see them and they were going to see us. And I still remember that. Those are core memories for me. Even as a child, I remember those feelings. And so we have to be so mindful when we're talking about family, how we're treating each other, because all of us need to have a core belief or a core feeling of something to know that there's real love there. There's deep affection. Amen. And then the last is the Y for yield. Yield is important because, to me, it goes with forgiveness. It's a way to give into demands or pressure or even arguments. I think the most important thing for me, at least visuals, since I love visuals, when you see a yield sign, it doesn't necessarily mean stop, but you pause to make sure that it's okay for you to keep moving forward. Sometimes you do have to stop, and sometimes you have to wait, but nevertheless, you're still in motion, you're still going. And so it is important for us when we talk about families, why it's important for sometimes to keep the family going, to keep confusion down. You just yield and keep it moving. So now I want to make sure that you understand a couple things about mercy before we really go in deep into our lesson. But one of the things I love when I do my research is that I try to find things that God gives me pause. I do a lot of writing. I have a lot of resources. But he usually points out the things that he wants for me to share. And so I thought this was kind of interesting that I found this online. But it talked about there are seven corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And if we do our part, we can make the world a better place. But the emphasis more so is on applied growth for you personally. And so when we talk about the seven corporate acts, I'll say them, but I want to deal more with the spiritual work acts. But the corporal acts of mercy are to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to give shelter to travelers, to visit the sick, to visit the imprisoned, and to bury the dead. Now, the spiritual works of mercy are kind of close to that, but the first one is to give instruction to the ignorant. And it doesn't mean ignorant in some ways that we think of that. It's just those that just don't know. So to give instruction to the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to admonish the sinner, to bear wrongs patiently, to forgive offenses willingly, the afflicted, and to pray for the living and the dead. And so one of the things that I think I love the most, what drew me to this article, was doing the spiritual works of mercies requires much more humility and much discipline in love. And when you're able to do that, praise God, you do that in love without nagging or appearing that you're more important or more superior than the ones that you're speaking with. So when we talk about giving instruction to the ignorant, one of the things I think that I love the most, especially when our family gets together, because there's many times that we do things and you're not aware of how to do certain, and I love listening and soaking up. I think I love being around the older members of my family more so than I do the younger ones, because I soak up the wisdom and instruction. I remember years ago, my uncle came home from work and he was tired, he was frustrated, and he came and he said, "Baby," he said, "if you just listen, you don't have to repeat the same mistakes that I've made." And he said, "just listen." And that struck a chord for me, because I did. And so I grew more close to people that have been seasoned, people that have experienced more things than I have. And it really dawned on me. I think I was maybe 23, 24, 25 at the time. And I thought, if he's 20 years older than me, surely he has to know a little bit more than I do. And so if I listen to him, I may not do everything he says right now, but if I at least file it away, surely I will encounter whatever it is that he was sharing, and then I'd be able to make a better decision. And so lo and behold, it never fails. And that's why it's so important now that I understand having my own children, when we try to get our children to understand, you have to follow instructions. It is so important. Yes, it's great, as my dear cousin Errol would tell me, you know, to find another path. You can still find another path, but still be in the vein of doing the things that are purposeful. And so, yes, going to work and getting a job and paying your way, your expenses, all that's right. But there's a way that you can do that. There's so many different avenues to doing that. And so it doesn't necessarily mean you have to get a 9-to-5 job. There's other ways that you can do that. You can work a day, you can work at night. And so you don't have to do the 9-to-5 that the world system has kind of encapsulated that is, you know, working. That there are jobs that are just as productive and more resourceful than from 11 o'clock at night to 7 in the morning. And so, again, being around other people, family, if you will, and this is not just inclusive to those of you that you're completely related to. Family is, you know, just a body of people that love and share some of those attributes that I said that define the family. Wise instruction, then we're able to do the things that God has called for us to do so much easier, because we're taking advantage of the resources that they're teaching us by just listening and following instruction. Counsel the doubtful. Every one of us, for the most part, has questions about not only our faith, but just life. I remember when my oldest daughter was graduating from high school. First time I ever had a child graduate from high school. How do I deal with that? How do I respond to a child that's been with me for 18 years and now is leaving the nest? That's a transition. How do I do that? I'm grateful that I had family, because I didn't know. I didn't know, would I be able to survive that? Would she be able to survive that? And so those doubts and those questions of how to do it, when to do it, it was important to have family that have experienced that to explain to me, she's going to be all right. Back up and let her learn and figure out her way. And then, praise God, going to the A, be available when she needs you. And when she makes the necessary mistakes or the mistakes that she needs, that God is allowing her to see how to make better decisions to depend on him. Be merciful when she comes and need me and need help. And then yield, back up, and let her take the lead. And so it's so important when we have doubts. And I'm not saying that just because I've experienced this now that I can share with other people, but I can curb some of the doubt and then have them to seek other means to make sure that they can find the peace and what they're doing or what they're going through at that particular time. But mercy goes so much more with just transitioning with children leaving your home. But it's when people go through great loss, when people are going through companionship, you know, looking for a new job. I mean, there's so many things that we can be merciful in sharing information when people are doubting. And then the one that I think I like the most is to admonish the sinner. Sometimes we can be kind of cold in this area because we forget that, you know, we have a glass house too. And so we have to be very open when we're dealing with people that are living a life that is different from what we're accustomed to. And then, of course, there's the Bible. But who are we to judge? And we talked about that a little bit last week, that we shouldn't judge those. We should love those and give them the opportunity for them to find the things in the way to God like we did. And so one of the things that I think for me, when I know that my family members or people that are close to me are going in the wrong direction, I try to treat them how I would want them to treat me when I'm going in the wrong direction. And so I have a really cool girlfriend that that always steers me back to the right direction. And sometimes it's interesting when I look at her because it's like I'm not expecting to get that much instruction, if you will, because I'm waiting for a family member to step in to do that. But praise God, because we are all God's children, sometimes we have to be open to receive wherever the instruction comes from. And that's why it's so important for us to know the people that we surround ourselves with, because if we're going to have people around us that will cause us to do things that are not according to God's plan, then we'll be in error. And so when we're talking about admonishing the sinner, it's not necessarily putting their sins on blast, if you will, or shining a light on it. We're embracing them and explaining in love and in kindness and showing them, you know, there is another way. There is another way for us to go together. And I think to me, especially going through a lot of challenges that I had, a lot of the things that I had to go through, I didn't have the parental guidance immediately. So I had to make a lot of decisions. And in making those decisions, I was grateful that somebody embraced me and admonished me versus casting me out when I was doing things that were not correct. And so there always has to be love, and you have to use your words carefully, because when you don't, praise God, you can push them further out. And so we want to make sure that when people are going wrong, it's not necessarily easy. It seems fun, but it's not necessarily fun. And so you need someone that can navigate and help you come back, but to do it in love. The next one is to bear wrongs patiently. I know when I see something wrong, I want to change immediately. But I've had to learn with this word patient. Patient, time changes everything. And yes, we go to the word and it says that we have to turn the other cheek and we have to endure hardships, and that we will. But praise God, when we get it may not be the time when someone else gets it. And so we have to be patient. We have to be loving. We have to be kind. And we can't go before God, because sometimes we can think that we can speed the process up by having and circumventing and going through other people and having other people call and other people do certain things. But it's not necessarily God's timing. And so it's so important for us to be patient, and especially when we're talking about our children, because the world system is enticing and they want to believe what the world says, but they haven't experienced why it's important that they follow instructions and kind words of encouragement through family until they get out there and realize those people don't care as much as they thought they did. And so if we as family members and family unit understand that we can be patiently when people do things that are outside of their blueprint, if you will, that we we go to prayer, but we'll talk about prayer in a second. So the next one is to forgive offenses willingly. I think this is one of the things that I learned the best a couple years ago, and I'm so grateful that I did, is that we can hold on to things forever, and the other person has completely moved on, and they don't even know why you are upset with them. And so for me, you know, I immediately apologize for my wrongdoings, especially if you let me know, because it's so important to me to not to burn a bridge. I want to keep the family lines of communication open. If we don't do that willingly, I mean, all of us make mistakes. All of us do things that are not intentional. And praise God, some people probably do some things intentional. But nevertheless, when you're family, you still forgive and you bring them into the fold and you allow them to be forgiven. One of the things I think we don't think about most or as much is that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he doesn't like family units. He doesn't like people coming together to be unified. And so what better way does he use offenses to create confusion, create problems? And so I learned years ago, go to the throne before you go to the phone. It's always the best recourse, because when you talk to someone else, sure enough, he's going to interject if he can to create the situation bigger than it is, to create the situation a little bit more. So now it's not as easy, or you're not willing to forgive, because you're thinking about now what the other person said. And then depending on how many people you call, it goes on and goes on. And then you have years of a gap and you don't even know what the original offense was, because you've allowed it to be fed by so many different things. And one of the things I think that helped me to get over people bondage was I asked God, Lord, forgive me. And if you forgive me, and if you can forgive me as many times as you have forgiven me, then surely I should be able to forgive someone that's offended me, whether it was this year, last year, or 10 years from now. Because I don't want to step before God and he said that you have unforgiveness in your heart, something that I haven't dealt with for 10 years. I don't want that on my record. And so I take the time. And it's not easy, because sometimes people are hurt and they're hurt hard and they're hurt to the core. But at the same time, you have to remember that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what sin you ever do, it can be forgiven. Of course, you can't bless them against the Holy Spirit. But I don't even think that we even really know how to do that properly for it to be something that God wouldn't forgive. He loves us so much that he wants us to be connected to him. And so if he desires the relationship, then we should want to have a relationship with those, especially that are within our families that we say we love. So we have to be willing to forgive offenses willingly and quickly. Praise God. And then the last one is to comfort the afflicted. I think sometimes we take for granted that everybody's okay. And then maybe it's because sometimes we say we're okay and we're really not okay. But many times I find that if you're really connected to someone and you really know that person, you know when I'm okay, it's not okay. You have to work on those relationships. I don't think we spend enough time as a body of people actually paying attention and listening to the signs that God is giving, one, but two, even looking at the signs that are in front of us. I know, and I can only speak from my references, and so I'm sure you have your own, but I can tell when my daughter's not right. I mean, her walk, her communication is off, and because I follow a lot of these steps that I shared on tonight, I do it patiently. Now, before it was, girl, you better get yourself together and keep it moving. But now I had to learn how I have to be patient, and I have to wait for God to give me the right words to say. Many times we can say the wrong things, and it can take it and have it go in a totally different direction than what God had intended, because we interfered. So we have to be mindful how to know how to comfort. And so in those times when people do things wrong and we need to forgive, we ask God to give us the words that are adequate, so that when we walk to that person or say something to that person, we can approach them in love. And why is it necessary for us to do that? Oh, I'm sorry. I got a couple more. Can I hurry up? I'm about to run out of time. Amen. We have to be mindful that when God gives us instructions and directions, then we have to be obedient to them, because he knows the master plan. It says, pray for the living and the dead. Many times when we go through problems or challenges, And we're praying for the living and even for those that we've lost. Many times the person that's really connected to the loss don't really know what to say. And so it's so best for us sometimes to just be silent, because sometimes we can say things that can make the situation worse. And so that's why it's so important for us to do the next step, where it talks about to pray privately and to intercede for them. When we don't pray and we don't intercede on behalf of our family, then so many things can come to mind that you think, and then you'll lean to your own understanding. It is so important for us to pray for our family members. It is so important for us to pray for those that they're connected to, because the enemy can use outside influences to infect the inside influence. And so it's so important, especially when those we lose, those that we love, we have to be patient. We have to be kind. And even today, as we celebrate my cousin's birthday, he would have been 50 years old. I know that for those that are the most connected to him, it's still a loss, and it will never go away. I was telling my sister that this year, of all the years that my mother has been gone, has been the most hard for me, because I've been sick and I haven't been able to just really reach out. And so it's difficult. And I know I read in a book years ago, The Motherless Daughter, that you will always grieve that loss when there's something, either a celebratory thing or something tragic, because you'll always miss that connection, and it will always remind you of the loss. And in those times when you know people are privately praying for you, those that are encouraging you and keeping you uplifted, that's why it's so significant for family. And then for us to be honest, I'm going through a rough period. I need for you to pray. It's not the time to fix the problem. It's the time to pray and ask God to give you what to say and what not to say. Because though in those times, we really don't know what to say. And then those that are in the shoes, we don't even know what we need to hear sometimes. So it's so important that we pray and we intercede on the behalf of those that are having loss and those that are in need. And so, as I say, that over the past couple of days, our family came together to celebrate the 50th. But one of the things that I think that I have loved the most about my family, and I'm sure that this time you'll take the time to really think about your family. Are you really connected? I know my grandmother's all of her brothers and sisters and all of their children. I don't think there's anybody in our family other than the little bitty ones. But I know everyone by name and pretty much where they live. And it's not because I just know. I take the time to know. And it's important for us to know who we can reach out to and who we can depend on. It's important because you never know. The people that live inside your home may not be the ones that God leads you to. And how can he tell me to call a cousin that I haven't talked to forever and then ask for the things that I need? But if I have relationship, then I have relationship. I have met so many people in my journey that don't even know, haven't really had relationships with their grandmother, with their grandparents, much less their sisters and their family and friends. So it's so important for us to really focus on why it's so important for us to be a unit. It is coming to the end of the road, and we need family to stand on. There are so many things going on in our world with COVID and all the other things that we're not even aware of that the system is dealing with, because the time is so close. And we can't reach out to our family members and show the love, show them that we're available, that we can be patient, and that we can pray, and that we're interceding on their behalf. They can be just as lost as some of these people that we see that are advertised on the news. It hurts my heart to know that people don't have family that they can turn to. I tell my family or my friends all the time, I would never, ever be homeless, ever, because I would go. I have too many family members that I personally know. And then if I wear my welcome, okay, I'll go to the next house, and then I'll go to the next house. And then even if I didn't have money to get there, I could just call and say, can you help me get to wherever I need to get to? That's because I've made it a point to share my love with my family. All of us need to be connected to someone. I believe that God intended for all of us, because he wouldn't have created Eve if he didn't know that Adam needed, he needed. He should not be alone. And that's why he allowed them to procreate and have other children, because it is necessary, not necessarily necessary for us to just have a relationship, but the more of us that are standing on the wall for God, to share his message, the more of us that will be able to make it to live eternally with him. And so I know that my time is coming to an end, but I really want you to understand why it's so important for us to understand why God encourages us to love. It's interesting to me that some people think that just because their children are grown, that it's a thing that I can't raise them, can't talk to them, whatever. But they're still training. As long as you have them, there's still some form of training. And then, praise God, there's so many of us that are displaced. Reach out. And that's why it's so important. I feed those that are less fortunate often. And I do it not because it's something cool to do or that I could put it on my resume to make me seem important. I do it because there was a time, amen, I realized I didn't have immediate parents. And so I was grateful that other people reached out to me. And so if that was the least I could do is to reach out to others. And then in doing so, I got to see that there are so many people in need, so many people that just need a kind word, need to be encouraged, need to be loved, need to be shown the love of God. Not necessarily me take them out and all this kind of stuff that sometimes we think showering people with gifts is a form of love. Just, you know, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you is enough to get the person to the next step. And so I have a girlfriend that loves the language. And she always asks, what's your love language? And I've read both books, the one for children and the one for adults. And I don't really care too much to go into, however you need to be loved, I'm going to love you. But when you really think about these qualities, it does give you a better understanding on how to reach people, especially when you're trying to be patient. And so the five languages that they have is the physical touch, the words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, and acts of service. And I can honestly say the family on my mother's side, we do many of these every time we come together. It may not always be on the best conditions when we get there, but before we leave, the key words that have been ingrained in my heart is love and happiness. And that means something more to me, and I don't even know if my family members understood the seed that they planted in me when they said those words and they sing that song and how every year we end with those songs to make me understand why love and happiness is so important. So when we lose people, it really hurts. And in a family member, family group with, you know, what's over 150 members, we've only lost 8 members. That is a blessing. That is a blessing, and I believe a lot of it is attributed to because we love each other, and we check on each other, and we see each other often as we can. And so many of us, if we know that it's the physical touch, I know my cousin from Cleveland, she loves coming. She'll come to, and then the next week she'll fly back for a graduate. It doesn't matter because we love being around family. And when you really love and you're really happy about your family, you will do what is necessary to prevent that bridge from ever being destroyed. And so, like I said, I dedicated this to my cousin that left us, but he left a legacy because I know that he loved me and I loved him. And I knew that when he did transition, he was happy. He was at a stake with his family. And we get to see the legacy through his children. And so, I'm grateful that God has blessed all of us to be connected. But if you don't have an immediate family and you don't have a connection with an immediate family, I suggest you call and start and get to know one of your family members. It doesn't have to be the whole unit. I'm grateful that I know my whole unit, but it's important that we get to know. I'm not as close to my father's family as I should be, and so I'm trying to reach out a little bit more to encompass that. Because every time you're connected to someone, you have an opportunity to share the word, to share the love of God. And if we see it from God's blueprint, then it will make us more free to do what is necessary so that all of us can say that we have love and happiness in our families. And it will cause us to do more in our immediate household. And if you do what you need to do on the immediate, it will shine on the outside. And so don't allow your love to just be inclusive to the inside, but extend it out to those that are less fortunate, those that you know that are not connected to family members, and help them understand why it's important to have a family unit. because God did not design for us to be alone. He designed us to be a family. And so I pray that I have been encouraging, that I have been in a way that you will be encouraged and empowered to do something different for your family, to be more involved, develop better habits, find the scriptures that are necessary to help you be able to forgive if you need to forgive. And then once you forgive, be a model to help someone else forgive and in families that are separated. All it takes is one. All it takes is one. And maturing yourself and having the right relationship with God. And as he said in his word, that if you remain in him and his word remains in you, you can ask whatever you wish. And if you want your family unit to be strong, all you have to do is ask and then follow the instructions that he gives. Amen. Well, this is Leah Killings on Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I always close the broadcast with a song from my granny. And praise God. Somebody pressed one, and so I don't know if you really have a comment, but if you do, I have no problem opening the line for you. The area code is 678, and the last four numbers is 2938. If you have a comment, I will unmute your line. You're live and on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller? Maybe they did it by mistake. But praise God. I do have comments. Well, maybe I don't. I got to play my granny's song. But if you had a comment, all you had to do if you dialed in is press 1, and I'll see your number live in the queue, and then I can unmute your line. But I need to play my granny's song. Like I said, she is the matriarch of our family. She's the oldest member at 94, and next month she'll be 95. Praise God, if we had a warmer climate, and if it's warm, we wanted to give her a pool party. She said she's never had a pool party. But nevertheless, Granny, you know I love you, and I thank you for always listening and always being there for me. And you've always just displayed love and happiness, and so I'm grateful for you. But her song is Every Praise Belongs to God, and it really does. And so I want you to make sure that you follow the steps. Reach out to a family member. If you haven't talked to a family member in a while, make it your business to do so. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Remember to always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship
is one accord.